We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're in the Bat Blue Studio, where if you bleed blue and white, you drink blue and white and Citra.
Drink blue and white.
What did I say? I blew and white? I blew it. I'm sorry.
Bring back Andy. That's why you pay Andy the big bucks.
I got to fire myself now. All right. Let's get down to business. It's quarter number four. It's time to do our combine recap. And we are here with Ross Tucker, Bob Flounders. As you heard, I'm Jim Galante, sitting in for Andrew Piché, who apparently will be back next week. Let's start the combine conversation with Trace McSorley, because this one's fun. Last week, we talked about this in our preview, Ross. Trace McSorley, quarterback only. And
do you remember that, Ross, when you said it was only going to be a quarterback? Looked at?
Yeah. Okay.
He was asked to work out with the defensive backs.
Yeah.
And was it Sean Payton who
Bob was saying Joey Edelman.
Edelman.
Yeah. Well, Bob was saying he looked at him as like a Taysom Hill role. And I guess I just didn't think he had the size-speed combo that they would look for. Like Taysom Hill's like 225 and runs 4.3. They say he's
and
the
also
fastest
special
guy
teams.
On the
I
team.
I mentioned the safety thing and that he could – I could see him on the safety – like a special teams guy. He's really – he was a pretty good safety in high school, and I don't think it would take him long to get ramped up there.
I will say I was – you know, 4.58.
Yeah.
I thought he was probably a 4.6. 4.58, especially after whatever injury he had that he was dealing with, you know. Remember, didn't they say it was like a broken foot or something at some point?
Yeah,
I'm starting to think maybe it wasn't a broken foot.
Yeah, that was the early
report. It was a broken foot. I got news for you.
It was?
Yeah, yes. I'm just telling you he did.
Just as an aside,
there was something there. Yes, yeah.
So, anyway, my point, though, about McSorley is I thought it was a really good showing for him to run that well. And I saw where Saquon Barkley thought it was so disrespectful that a team asked him to work out at safety. I don't look at it that way. I look at it like there's a team there that really likes what Trace brings to the table.
Yes.
And they're trying to find a way to see if he adds more value for them. Maybe they don't see him as being a number one, number two quarterback for them, but they're trying to find another way they can get him on the roster and have him show value. I don't really see the downside to working out as a safety. The negative, I guess, is if you work out at that position, some people perceive that to then be a willingness to play that position. And so then you get more people that might be asking you to work out like that. And it kind of starts to, like, it's not going to help your stock in people's eyes as a quarterback if more and more teams are having you work out a defensive back, right? It's like, that's a knock. If they're having you work out a defensive back, it's a knock on your quarterback skills, even if they're saying they like you and they're trying to find a way to have you.
But he's not going to be a first-round pick. This is not Sam Darnold, who's going to be a top-five pick.
He's not even going to be a Christian Hackenberg, who goes in the second round.
Oh.
But so I didn't see the downside, and I don't think of it as disrespect. I looked at it as they respected his athleticism to think that he could do this. So I wouldn't have seen the downside. Overall, though, Ross, his performance at the combine, how would you grade it?
Very positive. He threw the ball pretty well too, which I always thought he could throw it back in high school. I thought he could throw it better than he got credit for. He did not have a great passing year this past year, and we've gone over ad nauseum all the different potential reasons why, but he threw it pretty well. He was the fastest quarterback there. All I'm saying is if Kyler Murray is the number one pick in the draft, I really think people need to give Trace McSorley a long, hard look to at least draft and give him a chance. I mean, he started for 3 years. Kyler Murray did it for 1 year, and let me ask you this. Oklahoma had the best offensive line in the country. some of their receivers, the Hollywood Brown is lightning. I guess I'd be curious to see exactly what Kyler Murray would have gotten done for Penn State this year and exactly what Trace McSorley would have done for Oklahoma this year.
That would have been interesting, but I think what you also have is a case of Baker Mayfield, who preceded Murray, going to the Browns and doing well, and that's the legacy coming out of Oklahoma. And I just feel like it's not so much Trace's size anymore. He did not have a good senior year. I know there were a lot of drops, but there were a lot of games you could point out where his accuracy just wasn't there.
He missed throws this year that I don't remember him missing the first 2 years for whatever reason. I don't know if the wide receivers and he weren't on the same page. I said this, though. Somebody asked me this. What would his completion percentage have been if half the drops were caught?
It wouldn't have been that much. It would. I think he would have been 53 or 54%, something like that.
He would have been 60% if there weren't all those drops, right? I mean, there was a lot of drops.
There was a lot. I think the speed thing opened up a few doors for Trace at the combine, just because now if you're an offensive mind, you're just thinking about a guy that can impact the game as more than just a thrower.
And he can provide.
He showed
value.
That he's tough enough to run the ball against some Big Ten defenses like Ohio State, and he was still standing at the end of the game.
He could take a beating. We know that.
I think it's a good point, Bob.
You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light.
There it is.
I got it, Kevin. All right. We spent a lot of time with Trace. What else stood out to you, Ross? Bob and I were talking in quarter one a little bit about Monty O and Miles Sanders. Were those your standouts?
I would just say, in general, I was pretty impressed by the Penn State guys again. I think that almost all of them exceeded expectations. You know, Sanders ran very well, caught the ball very well, was smooth. What do you have, like the fastest three cone or fastest something time?
He was like, Daniel Jeremiah was just raving about him. He said he stood out. And I don't know what you think of the running back class. I think it's pretty solid. And I'm just happy to see him. Like, he stamped himself as a guy that can play in the NFL if he's given a chance. I think he's got the size. He's got the versatility. I really think that I don't see him now going any later than the third round. And you could say, well, why not the second round? Well, Alvin Kamara went in the third round. And it's just the way that they look at running backs. And Alvin's not that different in terms of size than
and it just depends on how many they end up taking, if there's a run on it. Right. You know, if not that many running backs go, they might look at it and say, we got all these guys about the same.
We
can wait till the fourth round.
Let me ask a different way for both of you. How many running backs will go before him?
At least one.
I was going to say, I think he's a top five back. I think coming out of the combine, between what he did at Penn State against, you know, he did get shut down by some pretty good defenses, and that's maybe not necessarily all on him, but he also went off against Michigan State, and he had some good games. So, Ross, I think he could be a top five back. I just don't know what that means, like you said, in the draft. I think he's a top 100 player. Would you say that?
I think he probably goes third round. That's just my guess.
And as a running back, that's not so bad.
It's no,
like
I mean,
there's gonna be
there will only be there will only
going.
Be one first rounder at most. Yeah. Josh Jacobs from Alabama. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that with even a prayer going first round, and that's my issue. If Jacobs is the only guy with a prayer going first round, that means nobody's really going. Probably the second one's not going until 45, because the first 45 picks are all guys that you see in mock drafts all the time, right? Because there's different mock drafts as to who makes the first round or whoever. So if he's not in the top 45, then you're talking he'd have to be in the next 15 picks to get second round. So my guess is he goes third round. I thought Amani O ran faster than some people thought. They were concerned about his speed. He was a 4.48 guy. That was good. Bates was up there in a bunch of the different drills.
Sharif ran sub 4.7.
Yeah, Sharif ran faster than I thought he would. McGovern was top 10 most of the O-line drills. I mean, honestly, it was Penn State's doing some stuff right. Now, the irony is they don't really train the guys for that stuff. They train the guys to get ready for football. And then once the season's over, these guys all go to private places that train them for the combine drills. But at least we know whatever Penn State's doing isn't making them worse in those drills, and that they've got pretty darn good athletes, that Dwight Gault's helping them get better.
I would hope that there's an overlap between what they're trying to teach them or work with them for football skills, and that the combine skills should overlap that.
Well, I mean, there's some, but I don't think there's a lot of overlap between the combine drills and playing football.
Really?
No,
then
I mean,
why don't they do other drills?
It's a great question, and the answer is because these are the drills they've always done, and they have a baseline, and they have understanding now of what's a good time, what's a bad time, and to be able to compare it rather than if they did the Ross Tucker drill, whatever that is, they wouldn't know when you started what was a good time or what was a bad time. But most of the stuff they do is not very relevant to football. I mean, once I did that at my pro day, which was at Rutgers, I never did any of that stuff ever again the rest of my life. And they never ask you to. It's not like you're doing those drills as an NFL player. They never ask you to ever do that stuff again. It's like you just took a test and you dump it out of your brain because you never have to remember
philosophy.
European history again. Yeah.
That you'd never have.
That's exactly right.
I just want to say I'm looking forward to 2 years from now. I'm looking forward to seeing Micah and Jason Oway at the Combine and what they can do, because I think they will blow up the Combine, both of them.
That will be interesting and a lot of fun. Ross, I'm going to go off the Penn State radar just a little bit. Kyler Murray, there was an interesting news thing. Casserly came out and said he's never seen worse reports on a quarterback, on, I guess, the whiteboard, leadership, all of that. What can we take from that? Anything?
Well, everybody's hammering Casterly for it. I don't really even know the guy, but maybe he's just saying what somebody told him, like what some people told him. Like, what's his motivation? And everyone's got some type of angle and slant. Like, maybe he just talked to a couple guys. They're like, man, he was really bad on the board or in these guys. Would it be that crazy? I mean, if you remember his interview with Dan Patrick and I think some other people, but certainly Dan Patrick at the Super Bowl, it was really bad. I mean, it was really awkward. He didn't know what to say. He didn't even answer some questions. He came across to me as very poorly prepared. So at a minimum, we don't need to know what Charlie Casserly said to know that there are some issues with Kyler when it comes to interviewing and being prepared for interviews, at a minimum. But the flip side is, the Cardinals like him, and they're going to take him number one, so it doesn't matter how he did. Maybe the other ones were like, you know, the Niners, and he knew he wasn't going there, and he wasn't interested. You know, like, who knows who the other teams were? Teams where he knew he's not going to be playing for him, maybe.
Well, and again, I'm sure there's some source to this. He's not just making it up.
Right. Charlie wouldn't do that.
He heard something from someone.
Yeah, he said multiple. He said more than two. That usually means three, by the way, but he said more than two.
Well, how important is it for an NFL quarterback compared to a college quarterback to be he's the face of the franchise, well-spoken?
Depends on what college you go to. Depends on what college you go to. But the biggest difference usually is the adversity and the negativity. There was not really any negativity for Kyler Murray at Oklahoma. Like, even when they lost the game, it was like, yeah, but Kyler, you're great. You get to the NFL, there's a lot of negativity around you, and you got to answer the bell after you throw three picks, and including a pick six, and you lose the game.
All right, that's the final note for quarter number four. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Ross. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Kevin. And be back next week. We will have Andrew Piché in charge again.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.